Welcome to the Center for Global Initiatives podcast, a production of the Johns Hopkins School of Nursing Center for Global Initiatives. Tune in monthly to hear from Johns Hopkins students and faculty about their travels, projects, experiences with, and thoughts on global health nursing.
Today on Episode 1, Part 1, our back-to-school episode, we talk to Johns Hopkins students, Anne Schultz, Kelsey Galushi, and Ashley Gresh about their alternative summer breaks, taking their nursing skills and learning opportunities abroad in India and Mali. First, we'll talk to Anne and Kelsey.
Hi.
Hey.
Thank you so much for having us.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So the two of you went to India. Can you tell me a little bit about the international program you were involved in?
Sure. So Kelsey and I were part of a program called the Global Health Leadership Program. And it ran out of the School of Medicine and also the School of Nursing and the School of Public Health. And it's a program designed to give interprofessional experiences as well as intercultural experiences to med students, nursing students, and public health students. So the group that we went with had four nursing students and one medical student.
Mm-hmm. And we went to a town called Pune in India, which is one of the largest cities in India, but we are actually about an hour north of Pune in a little village place called Pimpri.
And did you primarily work in a clinic there or a hospital, or did you go all over the place?
We were really lucky. We got to see a lot of different healthcare settings. Most of our observational experience was in the hospital there, in the hospital setting. We did get to go to different units throughout the hospital, which was really neat, depending on what our interests were. But the School of Nursing there collaborated with different health centers in the area, so we actually went to a couple clinics, both in the urban and the rural settings. We went to the HIV/AIDS Research Center.
And then in addition to observations, we also got to work on a research project together that was in collaboration with some students from the School of Nursing, some master's students actually who are getting their master's in community health at the school. And our research project ended up being studying preventive measures of dengue fever and comparing it between the slums in the area and then also the urban area. So in addition to the observations in the hospital and the different clinics and the HIV center, we also got to go into these small communities, the slums and the urban areas, and talk to residents there.
That sounds really interesting.
It was
a lot of fun too.
Mm-hmm.
So you were a researcher and you were working as an interprofessional experience. So what was your role there? Was it similar to your clinical experience here as a nursing student, or was it different?
It was very different in the sense that it was mostly observational, which I think was a very good thing. We weren't touching patients too much, but we did learn a lot through that observation, and we got to see what the nursing roles were in India and how the nurses interact with the doctors and the medical staff there too. But the research project was very hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
From start to finish, we really had to do most of the development, but we did have a lot of help with the local students and the staff at the nursing school.
Yeah, and I think one of the particularly unique aspects of the hospital observations was that, contrary to our experience in the U.S., we could kind of wake up one day and say, let's go to labor delivery room ward for 3 hours, and then maybe let's go check out the NICU or the operation room or the PICU. And in that way, we could kind of every single day float where we wanted to go, which I think is something that you can't really do here as a student. You have to get paperwork and go through all sorts of loopholes. So that was really unique and I think something that not a lot of nursing students get to do.
And what was your experience like working interprofessionally, both with the medical student that came with you and in India?
There was a lot of interprofessional collaboration, which again was another really awesome part of the trip. We got really close with the master's students in the School of Nursing, and they helped us 100% with the research project. And we worked alongside, well, we observed alongside the nurses, the residents, and some of the physicians in the hospital. In addition, non-sort of professionally, we got to talk with a lot of students on campus from the nursing school, the medical school, and things like that. And
did you notice any differences between the nursing school there and the nursing school here?
So not too much, actually. At one point, we went into the library, and I think we all realized that they were using the same books that we use here, which is really cool because, I don't know, it's not something you quite think you'll encounter. So I don't think education-wise there was much of a difference. They kind of sort of have some different degree things here and there. And then professionally-wise, I think, again, there's not too much of a difference, some subtle differences. Like, I think nurses in the hospital aren't as involved in the assessment process. They don't have stethoscopes. That's more something for the physicians. And also, there isn't as much interprofessional collaboration for a nurse in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. And they are trying to change that a little bit, just the same way that we are in the United States.
What's one thing that you learned while you were there that you think you'll take back and apply to your nursing practice here in the United States?
What I thought was really interesting there was, and part of this comes from things that we talk about in our classes here at Hopkins, you know, they have a lot less resources there. So they're able to do a lot more with less. Whereas I feel like we're trying to do that more in the United States, but we're not quite there yet. So we're doing a lot less with a lot more. So we have a lot of resources. A good example is one time in the urban clinic that we spent some time with. There was an older woman who came in with, she was having a lot of knee pain. And the doctor saw her, and I was observing for a little bit, and I was just staying quiet. And obviously, they were speaking in Marathi, so I waited patiently to find out exactly what was being said after the appointment. But the doctor there explained when she left that she was having this knee pain, and what she probably needed to fix it completely was surgery. But he wasn't even going to mention that on their first visit because he really wanted her to come back. And he knew if he told her that she needed surgery, she would just get scared and she wouldn't come back for follow-up treatment. So he gave her some medication that would help with the pain and then asked her, you know, to come back regularly so they could build more of a relationship and maybe talk about surgery further down the line if she was more open to it. So rather than rush through the visit and give her all of these high-tech options that he knew she wasn't ready to hear, he was able to take more time with her and make a plan of care that really, really was going to be effective and work well for her.
And focus on that relationship,
exactly,
too. And I think that's a really excellent point, too, about the type of care in a low-resource setting. I think it is really easy for people to associate low resources with nurses don't know as much, they're not as educated, they're not as skilled, but that's just very much not true. And I think when you have experiences like we had, you're just reinforced with how false that is. And if anything, it's quite the opposite. And I think that it's really important to not associate, you know, low resources with no skills and things like that, but to realize that they're just as capable. They're just had different tools.
In a lot of ways have more unique and more developed skills because they've had to work with a lot less.
Absolutely.
They have to figure things out on the fly a little bit more, probably.
Absolutely.
Tell me one of your favorite stories from the trip. I'm sure that something amazing happened out there.
Yeah, we have quite a few, I think, but not a lot of time to say all of them. I think probably from the global health education standpoint, we have a good story about the labor and delivery ward. I actually had not seen a birth yet when I went over to India, even though I'm incredibly interested in midwifery. And we had heard a rumor in the hospital that there were a litter of kittens that were hanging out in the labor and delivery ward, which sounds crazy. And actually, we found out they weren't in the labor and delivery ward. They were in the postpartum area. So one day after we were in the NICU, Kelsey and I decided we were just going to go see if we could see these kittens. So we ran over to the labor and delivery ward where we thought the kittens were going to be. We burst in to see these kittens, and we didn't see anything, but we heard a lot of commotion coming from the other room, and we heard these women yelling, "Kut, kut, 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 kut," which I guess in Marathi means push. And one of the residents came out to grab some resources, materials, spotted us, and just grabbed both of us and told us to come back into the labor and delivery room. And we saw what was my very first vaginal delivery, which was really, really inspiring and amazing, and happened very quickly.
Mm-hmm. But there were no kittens there.
There were no kittens.
Very disappointing. It sounds like a really good non-pharmaceutical pain relief technique.
Oh, yes. Yeah, pet therapy. And then right after that, after we got done watching this amazing vaginal birth, she said, okay, just follow, there's this woman, a pregnant woman, sitting in a wheelchair, and she was being wheeled out of the labor and delivery room in a gown, and the same resident said, okay, follow her. And we were like, okay, where are we going? And she was like, oh, a C-section. So we actually ended up seeing two births in about
10 minutes.
Yeah, it was really, really fast and very crazy, but that's actually where I think I really fell in love with midwifery and mm-hmm. really decided that that was the field that I was going to pursue. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that was pretty neat.
And I had the same feeling. I think it was a really unique experience for both of us. Yeah. And on a side note, the kittens apparently like... the reason they're there is because apparently they like placentas and they like the smell of placentas. I don't know if this is true, but this okay. is the word on the street. But, you know, language barriers, you're never sure. But, like, I guess, you know, they jump on a placenta or two every now and then, but that's
less
there.
Waste that way.
Yeah.
It just sounds smart. Did anything else stand out to you culturally, either in healthcare or outside of healthcare, that was a challenge or something that you really liked?
I feel like oftentimes there's a greater sense of community.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is unique, and I'm not quite sure of an example to give for that.
Oh, here's a good one.
Go for it.
Okay, so when we were doing our research project in the slum areas, the urban slum areas, we actually had a really unique opportunity to meet with the local corporator. Am I saying that right? So he's basically like this one particular slum's representative mm-hmm. in government.
Elected. By the people.
But what was really unique about him was that in other areas... in these types of situations with this, where you have a slum and you have, like, the elected representative, that representative wasn't necessarily from that area. And usually they were not. They came from other neighborhoods. They grew up in other places. But this local corporator grew up in that specific slum, and he was 31 and had been elected 10 years prior. Mm-hmm. So he'd had this job for 10 years, and the local corporator gets to live in, like, this big... nice house. I mean, nice compared to the other houses in the community. And he had actually opened up that building to act as kind of like a, what's the right word? Like a kind of a community...
Like center?
A community center, but just like a place where people could come to him.
Mm-hmm.
He made it his office.
Open.
Yes,
yeah.
And kept an open door policy. That's what I'm trying to say. So he invited the community to come in and voice their concerns. And he was working very, very hard. He had actually gotten running water and electricity. He had brought that to his community. He had brought Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. He got the government to pay for free Wi-Fi for people in his area and was really focusing, collaborating with the School of Nursing and with the staff there to focus on some of the major health concerns in the area as well. So he was just very dedicated. Mm-hmm. And when we visited him and his community, it was very obvious that he was very well loved. And mm-hmm. this community had just like a lot of love mm-hmm. and people were very happy there. And that was really, really nice to see. They were coming together, trying to solve their problems together and working very well together.
Mm-hmm.
That was really, really, really neat.
Mm-hmm. So again, that sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And at one point, we stepped outside into the slum area with the local corporator, and, you know, every single person came up to say hi to him, and he said hi to everyone. And also, I remember we showed him some pictures because we took a lot of selfies with the residents in the slums per their request. And as we were flipping through the pictures, he could name every single person in the pictures. Mm-hmm. Like, thousands of people live in this slum, and he could name all the kids that we were showing. And also on a side note, before this 10 years that he had been working, his mother was in his position for like 30
That's
years
amazing.
Or something like that. And so she passes down to him and they have this passion together and they both still work together in the community.
Anne, any thoughts about the impact of nursing globally?
The impact of nursing globally.
I know it's a really big question.
It is a really big question.
I'm just trying to pull it all together.
The impact of nursing globally. I mean, I think it was really amazing to see that even though we were in a completely different country, a completely different culture, nurses were still very, very important.
Essential.
And especially in the NICU, that was probably the most eye-opening experience in terms of what nurses there were doing and what they were capable of. They really were. I mean, the residents and the doctors would come in and kind of supervise occasionally, but the nurses were the ones that were really running the unit there. It was really neat to see that they are very valued.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And lastly, what would you suggest to other students who would like to pursue global nursing experiences? How should they get involved?
Keep your eyes and ears open for opportunity, mm-hmm. and then when opportunities do come around, just take advantage of those opportunities. I had heard of this opportunity through someone else who was interested in it and wanted to apply, and I had no idea about this. I'd never heard it before, and so I looked it up, did some research, and applied, and here I am now. And that was just like a one-second conversation I had with another student. So I think voicing that you are interested in these sorts of opportunities and then seeking them out and talking to people and finding where these opportunities exist and then just going for it.
Mm-hmm. And don't let the cost of things deter you too much. I mean, obviously that's always, as nursing students, the cost is always kind of in the back of our mind. We have to be wary of that. But there are funding opportunities, which is something that you can also seek out. Just do everything that you can. I mean, look at Global Health News. Find out yourself what's going on in the world. Become more informed. Listen to this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Have conversations with other students about global health topics and things that are happening in the world right now. And decide which areas in global health that you're really passionate about. I think narrowing that down a little bit can help seek out opportunities as well.
I think that's a great point because I think when we think global health, we think of traveling somewhere. But I think it's a lot more than that. I think it's learning about it and talking about it and incorporating it into your practice. And it's not just this one four-week trip that you get to go on. It's the things you do before that and during it and after it and the lifelong lessons you learn and the lifelong friends you meet.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for appearing on our very first episode.
You're welcome.
Our pleasure.
Let's welcome Ashley. Ashley, you went to Mali this summer, is that right?
I did, yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about the program that you were working with and your experience there?
Yeah, so I was with the a GEMS project, which is a global established multidisciplinary site. So what that means is it's a collaboration between the School of Nursing, the School of Medicine, and the School of Public Health. So our project was focused on understanding maternal mental health issues in Mali, and we were based in Bamako, but then doing research outside of Bamako.
And how long were you there for?
So I actually only ended up being there for about a week and a half.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the area that you were in like? Was it a city? Was it rural?
So we were based in Bamako at first. So Bamako is the capital mm-hmm. city of Mali. And then we were in Salinge, which is a town that's a very small rural town that's about a couple hours from Bamako, about 160 kilometers.
And did you go from clinic to clinic, or what did your day look like?
So when we were in Bamako, we were based like right outside of the main hospital in Poinge. And so we were doing a lot of research with research assistants. So we were based right outside the hospital. And then in Salinge, we were going, we were at different health centers, and then we went into villages as well.
Okay. And have you completed the research? Have you developed a screening tool for postpartum depression?
So it's ongoing right
now. No pressure.
So actually right now they're in the process of continuing the field work, which is really exciting. And so we worked on, well, I was there and Kirsten was there, another student from the School of Nursing. So we worked on getting a pilot going. And so now they've finished the pilot of the screening tool for postpartum depression and now are going on to actually work on validating the tool, which is really exciting.
Awesome. I know postpartum depression is something that we talk about a lot here and we're all very aware and we try to make sure that we have it on our radar. Is the attitude towards it the same in Mali or is it different?
It's very, well, so I think what makes it different is for just from the outset is that there's just really not that much of an awareness or recognition mm-hmm. really of mental health issues. For example, they only have a few psychiatrists in the entire country and very few therapists or any sort of like huge mental health system or mm-hmm. plan in place. And so that's something that is, it's very different in terms of how you think about treatment and things like that. So when we were making the tool, it was really interesting in how to adapt the Edinburgh postnatal mm-hmm. depression scale, which we use here, to the Malian context. And that took a lot of time and finesse and work and input from a lot of different people.
Can you maybe give an example of one way you changed it to be more appropriate for that culture?
Yeah, so some of the things and thinking about like activities of daily living or thinking about, mm-hmm. so we have a, you know how sometimes we have scales where we look at like a pain scale with the mm-hmm. faces or things like that. So when we looked at like a functionality tool, instead of having somebody who had like a different face, it was like someone either could carry something on their head or it was falling down. And so it was like kind of this representation of activities of daily living that we might not necessarily associate with here, but something that Malian women could identify with.
Is there any one thing you learned during your international experience that you think you'll bring back here and apply to your nursing practice?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of things. I think one, I mean, huge thing I guess we learn all the time, but especially when you're in an international context, is being flexible and mm-hmm. being adaptable, and that really there's a lot of uncertainty in working with people, and you just have to be able to kind of roll with things as they come, and things might not go as you've planned, but you have to try and make the best of it. And I think that's something just in general I try and apply in my everyday nursing life.
Is there anything that worked overseas in a lower resource setting that you think might work here as well?
Oh. I think one of the big things that I always see that I think of when I travel, and this was applied in Mali, is the use of community health workers. Mm-hmm. I think is something that we don't utilize as well as we could in the United States. I mean, not everywhere they are being used, but I think using and capitalizing on a community's capabilities is really important. And we have a lot of people that we could use to try and build support networks and things like that I think we're missing in a lot of our communities.
Definitely. Do you have a favorite story from the trip? It can be healthcare related or non-healthcare related.
I think my favorite day of our work was one day when we were going out into the rural community. It was rainy season, and so we drove for hours on a dirt road, and then we got to this river, and it was really pretty amazing that it was just like kind of this, we were like, oh, you know, shoot, how are we going to get across this? But they had already had a system with the boat. You know, we got on the boat, we went across the river, and we were able to kind of just, you know, that kind of just going through, taking a car, a boat, you know, walking. And I think it was just really just symbolic of how resilient communities can be and how to create solutions for things when they're put in front of you.
Did you do any work interprofessionally while you were there? Or were you working primarily with nursing students and nurses?
Yeah, so our whole project has been interdisciplinary, which has mm-hmm. been great. So we had input from the School of Psychiatry. There was a medical student. There were psychiatrists. Then the School of Public Health, there was a doctoral student and a master's student in faculty support as well. So it was nice that we were all working as a team the whole time, which is great.
So overall, what is your view on the impact of nursing globally?
I think, well, we know, right, that nurses are the majority of the healthcare workforce. I think it's like 80% or something like that. And I think that nurses are very key to think about when we're thinking about the Sustainable Development Goals or anything like that, achieving health goals, that nurses are going to be the forefront mm-hmm. of care. And you can see that when you go internationally, like nurses are the one who are doing most of the work. And I think it's going to be important to build them up and to be able to empower us all to be able to achieve universal health.
Great. And lastly, what would you suggest to other students who would like to pursue global nursing experiences? How should they become involved?
Using any avenue you can. If you see that there's something being advertised, if you see that there's some, like a GEMS program, or if there are other global leadership programs, to just apply for it. I mean, my thing is that if you see something, go for it, and you never know until you try. And if you can try and like adapt it into your coursework or into your practicums, that you really just gotta go for it. And I think it's really important to do.
Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for listening, and tune in at the end of next month for our next episode. You can find more information about the Johns Hopkins School of Nursing's Center for Global Initiatives at nursing.jhu.edu/CGI.
Check 1, 2, 3.
Check 4, 5, 6.
7, 8, 9. Check.